You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the KoopaCast, Pure Nintendo's bi-weekly podcast dealing with all things Nintendo. This is episode 82, Sakurai's Final Smash DLC. I am your host, Matt P., the Multimedia Manager, and I am joined by Editor-in-Chief Justin Sharp.
Hey everyone, good to be here.
And Contributor Harrison Milfield.
Hi everybody.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the final Direct Smash that premiered yesterday, December 15th. During that announcement, Masahiro Sakurai announced Corrin from Fire Emblem, Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, re-announced is the better term for that one, and finally Bayonetta from, Bayonetta. and that brings the DLC character count to about seven, and... You know, that's a pretty good number. They already had a good amount of characters out there already, and to have seven more out there, that was pretty good. So I want to get some initial reaction from you all. What did you all think about what we saw?
I'll let Justin go ahead first. I'm still kind of collecting my thoughts because I had just recently spoken on like two other podcasts discussing this whole thing, and I'm like, I need to actually say it a little differently, but go ahead, Justin.
All right. Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know that I had any inflated expectations for, any characters that I was like really wanting to see. So I was pleasantly surprised with the Bayonetta reveal. The Corrin reveal was interesting. I mean, I didn't do that much looking into Fire Emblem Fates to know that that was one of the characters. So I, like everybody else, was probably surprised about that one. But I know that it seemed like there was a lot of flack that they were saying that like half the characters are now Fire Emblem characters or something like that, which it's not nearly half, but it's a cool series, and the fact that it's getting more love is great, I think. So I don't know. Overall, I thought it was a fun direct. I like that they detailed all the moves for all the characters. Cloud and Bayonetta has a lot of unique aspects. So I don't know.
It was pretty good. I gotta say, for the Fire Emblem one, you literally just quoted me about the Fire Emblem 50%. Yeah. That's on our post right now, where I've made a joke about the next Smash Brothers being over 50% Fire Emblem characters.
Oh yeah, well maybe I subconsciously put that in here.
So you're calling me out of my own podcast? All right.
That's the gloves have come off, I guess.
That it does. I think the thing that got me first. Slightly worried about this direct in particular. I mean, I was excited when it began. It's like, okay, this is going to be 33 minutes long, is that it did start out with Fire Emblem. And my first thought was not just like, oh, this is another Fire Emblem character. My other thought was like, another sword wielder? Come on, But I did appreciate, though, looking how Sakurai described Corrin. At least it's kind of going the same route as Robin. Not to say if it's a clone character, but she actually has a different, like a varied move set. So that at least gets me onto it. But doesn't it kind of actually speak volumes knowing that what the resurgence that Fire Emblem has had in the last 4 years? I mean, This is a series that we've gotten that was almost just, it had its one last shot at being successful or just being a canceled series. And Awakening comes out and six Fire Emblem characters later, and now we're getting technically three new Fire Emblem games in February. So I think it does show basically how far this series has come. Would have I liked to see somebody else in there and I feel like it took a spot away? Yeah, but I think Bayonetta at least made up for it on there. I did remember shouting out, like I said this about 2 years, about right when Bayonetta was being 2 was about to be released, that I didn't really see Bayonetta as a character in Smash because her design didn't really fit into that universe. It was just the kind of like how Snake was, even though Snake was a very good addition to Brawl, but he just didn't really fit into that Nintendo-esque universe. I mean, things like Ryu or even Sonic, those people, characters actually, you could feel like, yeah, I could see them coming from that universe if you did not know they were from different companies. But I did get worried though at the beginning of the Bayonetta reveal, where it did start out with Pit and Palutena speaking on there, and I was getting really, I'm like, no, don't. Because I was one of the last holdouts of hoping for Ridley in Smash, even though it was delusional and I need to let go.
You do, you really do. It's never gonna happen.
I know, and I was hoping for, I mentioned this a couple of friends, of like, the costumes for the Mii characters, and I was like, yeah, just give me a Ridley costume and I'll turn my Mii's face upside down, frowning, and I'll just pout and just be like, someday, sweet prince. Someday.
What are you talking about? Ridley is in Smash Brothers. He's in that one level.
I think my idea for like for wanting Ridley in the character is that aside from Samus and whatever, it's like the only other iconic character from that series, and I guess I just want more Metroid representation. That's all I really wanted. And I if they would have but does anybody else surprise that, well, when Sakurai said this was Bayonetta was like the number one requested character at the bout in Europe and top 5 in the US. I want to know what else was in that top 5.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were wondering that.
Oh, I'm sure. I think I got a list. It was that I wrote up myself. That was probably what was actually on the list. And number one was probably Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh yeah.
After that was Gino from Legend of Seven Stars. That was on there.
Yeah.
Now costume.
Yeah. Wolf from Star Fox was probably also on there.
I am thankful that that did not become a reality.
He was such a clone character. I wasn't. Yeah, I'm not too sad about that.
But yeah, that's probably what you saw up there. But yeah, within reasonable demand, that's what you get. I did see, speaking of reactions, I saw a lot of people were bummed that characters such as Shovel Knight from Yakuza Games' Shovel Knight, or Shantae from the Way Forward Shantae series, were not able to make it to the list. I'm pretty sure Matt Bozon himself was pretty devastated by that whole thing.
I like, and I like Bozon a lot. I like the stuff from when he worked with IGN. And I for a while, I was thinking, yeah, I thought it was a lock that we were going to get an indie character title in there, either Shantae or Shovel Knight. I mean, it did seem like all signs were pointing to Shovel Knight, but was anybody else shocked that even the Inklings were not even brought into it? I guess they're either like, hey, it's really kind of pushing this one more to the next iteration, because you look at Corrin, does it feel more like this is a marketing tool for Fates?
Yeah, I think so. And like Splatoon's able to stand on its own two legs now and without much help. And they already have like the little, Squid boy and girl hats, and you can kind of make your Miis look like him. So, I mean, now granted, they could have some unique move sets using the guns and splatting ink everywhere, but it could be a pretty maybe a taxing character. If it could actually like shoot ink and hide in that ink, and I mean, depend some of the unique move sets it might have may be just too much for the Wii U, let alone the 3DS.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's kind of like that limitations that the reason why they didn't put like the ice climbers into this game.
Right.
But it really does feel like at this point that you could see them saving that for the next iteration, whenever that's like 5, 6 years down the line, or who knows, we could get a remastered version of this on the NX, because who knows, Sakurai may just hang this. The amount of content that he said at the end of this direct, it's like, what, we're up to 58 characters, over 700 trophies, and just the amount of stuff that comes into it, and you're like, wow, Sakurai, whoever you hand this over to, it's good luck.
Yeah, honestly, I see it as kind of just an evolving thing. At least I hope that whatever the next Smash is, it just kind of evolves from the exact same feature set we have now. Better graphics, bigger levels, more interactive elements in the levels, obviously newer characters. I hope it just, not necessarily a port or a remaster, but just building on the same content. But we'll see what happens, I guess.
I mean, did any of you guys ever get a chance to, well, not to get ahead of myself or anything like that, is, well, don't you make it, it makes you kind of think, whatever, the beginning of the development of Smash for Wii U and 3DS, Sakurai was quoted that something about how a bigger roster is not necessarily going to be make this a better game, or he was like hinting like that there was not going to be a bigger roster in this version. And here we are now, and if there was a time that even he said that they were not going to do DLC aside from Mewtwo, and then next thing you know, it's Lucas is unveiled, and then the door is just wide open. You're like, oh wow, anything is possible now. I mean, just the fact that we got, all these DLC characters right now are coming is just a, the sprinkles basically on this Smash Brothers Sunday.
And it's not just Smash Brothers that we've seen Nintendo do this with now recently. If you want to go back, alongside of Smash Brothers, we've always seen on the announcements is Splatoon getting constant post-launch DLC. Now, obviously, Splatoon is a different case, whereas Smash Brothers was already packed to the gills with content. Splatoon's was not so much, and then of course, Splatoon's content was also free. But they've been supporting that throughout the year, and even going, say, before Splatoon, we saw Mario Kart 8, and they had plenty of DLC packs out there. New courses, new tracks. I believe they had a few new cars too, as well. And characters, am I right?
Yeah, they had, well, they had like costumes, I guess, that they, but that was a amiibo unlocked, but
And then, of course, to a lesser extent, Hyrule Warriors, they had about four major DLC packs release. The Master Quest, Majora's Mask Pack, the boss pack, and I can't remember the fourth one off the top of my head.
Yeah, there were at least four of them, I know. And then with Hyrule Warriors Legends, now you're going to have, even more content. They said that some of the stuff is going to stay exclusive to the 3DS, right? But I think Toon Link and King of Red Lion, or the King of Hyrule, is supposed to come over to the Wii U version, I think.
But yeah, so this is definitely something that we're seeing kind of Nintendo has been diving into more and more. So I just kind of wanted to get your opinions on, like,
It's.
here are the different ways that Nintendo's handled it. Do you see like one that you prefer over the other?
I wouldn't say there's one to prefer, but I will say that they're doing DLC smart. In a day right now where you have games that feel half finished and they're able to actually give you something that's worthwhile DLC, and God forbid that Nintendo's not going the way of, like, say, and I think Capcom was guilty of this, it's on disc DLC, which is essentially, for anybody who doesn't know, it's like the DLC's already on there. It just, when it's available, you have to get a code to unlock it and thus pay for. This, like, Justin said, it's all packed to the content. There's much content here in Smash Brothers. It's just, this is extra if you want to buy it or not to buy it to basically complete the game. Whereas Splatoon, it's giving you these free updates for free because they know the game itself wasn't complete, but we're going to give you this right now. It's just free of cost. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I think some of Splatoon's DLC was on disk, essentially. Like some of the weapons and stuff, because they had data mined. I think a lot of the weapons that have come out, and maybe some of even the stages. Now, some stages have probably come later as downloadable updates for free. But as far as your question, Matt, of what do I prefer, I think it kind of depends on the game. I think in the case of Smash Brothers, you could argue that that game was whole and complete as soon as it launched. It could have stood on its own without any DLC. So that's why I think, having paid DLC after the fact made more sense, because you're still going to have a full Smash Brothers experience whether you get Ryu or Lucas or Cloud or anyone else. But with Splatoon, I like their approach that they're doing these free updates because, arguably, a lot of people still like the game, but some people even at launch said, it'd be great if there were more levels or, all the new content that they've added, So I do think that it depends on the game, depends on the series, maybe it depends on, how much is even there at launch, with the game. One game that they've come out with recently that could probably use some DLC is Mario Tennis Ultra Smash. I know that a lot of people have been disappointed with that game, and I know Tristan probably had one of the higher scored reviews of the game, but I know a lot of people, just said that it just didn't deliver, for what Mario Tennis games that we're used to.
It felt like one of those games that was just developed right away before E3 and then just slapped together just to get for a holiday release.
Yeah, and I would love it. I mean, if they could do some free DLC for that, like they did with Splatoon, I mean, potentially that could be a, game with some long legs, going into the next year. But I don't know, maybe they're happy with whatever sales it gets because they, like you said, didn't put as much time into it anyway. But I don't know. I'm hoping for, that the story's not closed on Mario Tennis because I was kind of interested in it, but
I think you guys can see my screen. I'm very certain of that now. I was suspicious before, but after the third segue that I have written down that you guys just ran into on your own, that was literally the next question I was going to ask. I was going to ask you with what other titles you want to see this Nintendo DLC model applied to.
Ooh.
We can't see your screen. We're just
Yeah, we can't see you.
that good.
Well, I think Mario Kart 8 got the ball rolling in terms of good DLC to be put into this. But if I had to say, I it's never going to happen, but say if this was done probably at the beginning of, say, the Wii U's launch, I kind of wish they would have done this for, say, Nintendo Land, just to retune it, add more rides, new sections. That would have been very kept going. And it this was kind of tested out at least on Wii Sports Club, or yeah, Club or Plus. That was on
Club.
Club. There we go. Adding more events to that, essentially, aside from sports to play on there. I mean, just that model works as well. But if I had to say one, I want to say Metroid in some way, but until I see something that's like a traditionally 2D or a traditional exploration title, I'm just trying to figure out how they would be able to fit in, like, hey, here's a whole new area to explore, or if, depending on the story, they have like a prologue section, which is essentially a third of the game or something like that, that's put forward. Something to give more content, whatever. I mean, instead of like, okay, here's a new item that actually gets you to game break this.
You know, and I was just thinking of kind of
Kind of
similar.
similar.
Am I echoing?
Yeah, it was just a little bit.
Okay. One thing I was thinking of that's kind of similar to Metroid is the Zelda series, as far as like a big adventure game, how do you do DLC for that? But I was like, what if they added, those dungeons that they said that they were supposedly going to do in Wind Waker? And people were like, oh, that was. They were hoping for it to be an HD version of Wind Waker. That it would be cool if they added some of that, but again, then it kind of diminishes the experience that people had if they didn't play with those extra dungeons. So
Yeah, and I think the reasoning why they didn't put those two extra ones in there is like after development of the Wind Waker is that Anuma had said that those ideas were already used in the Zelda tiles later on. So, and I'm curious which ones those were to be exact.
Yeah, they just
So
reincorporated them.
yeah, they just basically took the whole idea and put them on the other titles, which I think is the reason why Twilight Princess actually has more dungeons. I think out of all the 3D Zelda titles.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite games, Zelda games, 3D games, I guess, because of its diversity in dungeons and its amount. It's
Oh
amazing.
yeah, I was talking with people about like what our favorite snow level was, and my favorite, aside from Fendron Drifts, I mentioned Snow Peak Temple, the one that was in the mansion. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was very unique. It's just like this house, and you meet these characters, and you're like, what's going on here? This doesn't seem like a dungeon, really. But the fact that you had to get the cannonball to different points in the level to unlock different areas, it was very well done.
How could you probably see, well, we're already seeing free updates for Mario Maker, and I believe some are coming more soon or not, but if I had to see other DLC for it, I would really like to see two palette swaps. Well, not palette swaps, but two formats on there. The Super Mario Land edition, like view, just in black and white. Just I would like to see that put on there. And you know what? It's different mechanics as far as the other ones. Mario Brothers 2. I feel like those would be good paid DLC. I mean,
Yeah, I could see those as good paid DLC. For sure.
Mario Maker's a good one. I think they still probably still have a few more elements that they need to like expand upon to make like the current format a little bit more robust. I actually haven't picked it up in a while since after that unmentionable review that I'm not going to mention the name of because we got to go at least one podcast without saying the name. Ever since I finished with that, I just haven't touched video games for a little bit, especially Mario Maker. I'll probably get back to it. I think the last one was they had checkpoints was on there, and the ability to like change like or to have multiple items in one box. So like if you were small Mario, instead of like a flower, you get a mushroom. But if you were big Mario, then a flower would come out.
That's correct.
Okay, cool. I know there are a few other things in there. They could probably learn to like expand. I guess expand. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like. I just remember there were a lot of things missing in like the Mario Maker that I remember being in the original games. So I'm like, if I had this, then I can expand it so much more.
That's in terms of like items and things that they just did not put into it.
Yeah. Oh, I think Boom Boom was one of them. Boom Boom was one something that I really wanted to see. For those who don't know it by name, it's that little mini boss that comes in the little fortress that like does that little wavy thing with his arms.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He was in Mario 3 and he was in the new Super Mario Brothers titles so far.
He was
No,
in Mario 3D Land too.
yeah, you are right. No, one that I want to see put into this, and it was exclusive to Mario, Super Mario World, is I want the dolphins back. I just want to put those in there where it's just like,
Yeah, that'd be cool.
yeah.
One thing that I always liked from the new Super Mario Brothers series were the rolling platforms. They're just like the big circles that you could put.
Yeah.
And well, even just like what do they have in the Wii U when they had those crystally cavern blocks that would like go
Oh,
up at
yeah.
angles? And I mean that would be really cool to make a level like that where you have to ground pound and open up some of them. But maybe those are too complex to for them to implement for us to use,
I think
but
we'll, but yeah, I think probably a couple of these ideas that you want to put into Mario Maker that has, I mean, you have limitations. It's a matter of like, how does this work in the Super Mario Brothers 8-bit world? How does this work in Mario Bros. 3? How does this work in World and vice versa? You know, it's a matter of some items work well with all four, and some are very, weird limited that they can't put into it. I think what was it? You can't put Yoshi in Mario Bros. Super Mario Bros. For the NES because it just screws up the mechanics of basically how that level will be set up.
I honestly would like to see some sort of multiplayer support where potentially you could create levels and maybe they don't do full four player like they've done in the new Super Mario Brothers games, but maybe two player. I don't know. I could see some really cool level designs with maybe one person taking like a high road, another taking down below. Maybe they can see two different screens. One person is looking at the TV, one person has the game pad, so they could be at completely different places in the level, perhaps. I don't know. There's obviously lots of challenges with that, but it'd be kind of cool.
I can't think of anything else on the top. Well, If there's ever another F-Zero, yeah, we could probably do to that. Maybe there could be a way for Star Fox Zero to implement this or something like that in the ways of like, you know, here's another path that you can take, whatever, like that. There's a map pack. There's a pack for that. But yeah, you know, it's opened up an interpretation, or not interpretation, but just to what they could easily implement.
And we'll probably be definitely seeing more variations to these things. You know, when the NX comes out, we might not be seeing such kind of DLC support in the waning years of the Wii U. Well, they've only got 1 year left, you know, according to some sources. Maybe two, according to some other sources. But yeah, not long thereafter, and Nintendo might not want to invest, you know, a full year in post-launch support on something that, you know, people might just kind of put down and there it is to collect dust for the rest of its days, or it's going to go out to a GameStop here shortly, you know. But it's definitely something in, and especially with the new, like, My Nintendo account and stuff like that, the way they're really trying to expand Nintendo's presence outside of their own consoles. If there's any opportunity for them to really, like, you know, explore post-launch DLC for a long period of time, with the NX, that will be definitely that time.
I could easily see Smash Brothers being repackaged probably for the NX. I could easily, with all the DLC characters and maps onto that, for if you with a little bit of touch up, I could easily see that. But
Yeah, there'll probably be some sort of remastering, you know, items they'll try and put on. One thing that's kind of interesting with the Twilight Princess HD announcement for next year, I honestly think that's it's one of those easy titles that they can do to kind of, you know, satisfy the Wii U market while developing something new and different for the NX. You know, whether that's, you know, a new sequel in an existing franchise or something completely new, but allows them to get something out there that's going to be a fan favorite, maybe entice people to get a Wii U, you know, if they hadn't played Twilight Princess before. And again, it's just an easy title to do. And then whatever development costs they could put towards a, you know, launch title for the NX. What's interesting, if it does go into 2017, so if the NX comes out, you know, maybe holiday 2017, which is, you know, 2 years from now, that means the Wii U will be 5 years old at that point. Now the Wii went 6 years; it went 1 year longer than the previous two consoles, but it would have a full, you know, life, so to speak, at that point.
Yeah, 5 years being the average lifespan these times, but I feel like for others right now, that's expanded by a year, it seems like. It's either six or so. Yeah, it's what used to be five is now kind of six at this moment. Four, I remember when with Microsoft when they went from Xbox to 360, I thought four was slightly unprecedented. Well, it felt like such a short time going into it.
Yeah, they accelerated it.
I know, just kind of reeling us back here a little bit before we go off on a tangent. I know I wasn't going to mention it, but it
Yeah.
happened anyway.
Xenoblade.
Yeah, Xenoblade. Let's talk about Xenoblade X and how that would actually have good post-launch DLC.
Why is it that we didn't want to talk about this exactly?
Because we haven't gotten a single episode in the past 20 episodes without me mentioning some form of Xenoblade or Xenoblade X.
He doesn't want to appear biased, you
Yes.
know.
Bias. I did read your review on there, whatever. It was well, I well written on there, whatever. Although,
Yeah, you didn't sound too biased at all, man.
yeah, just don't go read Killscreen's review of it. That is probably the most. That's probably the worst review I've seen of it right now. I mean, they do write good stuff, but that was probably the easily the most scathing review of Xenoblade. It gave it like a 5 out of 10 or something like that, or 50 out of 100. I was like, ooh.
Interesting.
That's what he does. You know, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to judge anybody one way or another for their opinions.
Oh, neither. I just looked at it and I was like, wow. I mean, but DLC for Xenoblade, well,
Okay. Like, here's my position on that real quick. The thing with Xenoblade is the way the story is set up, which it works against it in the way that Monolith Soft decided to tell the story, but it works for like a post-launch DLC environment. Because you could take story quests and affinity quests, and they're like kind of like the little separable thing within this flowing world. So you can have like extra little like extra affinity quests or extra story side quests or something like that, and have it still seem perfectly natural for the game and not have it affect whatsoever, you know, what's going on. Without spoiling anything, after I beat the game, which I did finally beat the game, there were post, I guess, post-campaign quests, post-campaign affinity quests that did open up for you. So, you know, that, you know, quote unquote, the story, I guess, still does go on, you know, whatever story you want to say, like more quest or, you know, complete what you didn't finish, you know, before you did the final chapter or whatever. So, you know, that seems like a good environment for it to have.
I think if you want to put something new into it, it's just introducing new tyrants to beat, not just I feel like or new creatures to go out and like a quest, whatever. That could be a good one to actually implement on there. Not just groups of them, but like a one giant tyrant where it's like, hey, this is for the global nemesis that you have to actually eliminate. I'm sure you could add new quests that don't resolve on bounties or whatever, but I'm currently like 38 hours into the game and I haven't even finished chapter 6 yet or got my skill, and I'm still learning new things about this. It's I keep asking people who play it, I'm like, am I doing this right or am I doing this? But with DLC, I'm not much for whatever. I mean, again, like you said, Matt, is that does Monolithsoft want to do release for DLC for this when knowing that they're shifting their focus on their next title, which is obviously going to be on the NX?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say that there probably is going to be DLC because there was DLC released in Japan, if I recall correctly.
Yes, and we got it free here.
Yeah, so was that bundled with launch, or
Yeah, it's already all in
it's
there.
already built in? Okay. So, and there hasn't been any DLC since then, I guess, in Japan. But yeah, I like the idea of, you know, some new tyrants, some different quests. I mean, like that's the way that the story, you know, progresses is very modular. So it would be very easy to add on extra quests for the game, at least easier than, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles or a Zelda game or, you know, something like that that has a pretty cohesive adventure. But it would be pretty cool if they added some things later on, new skills, maybe
Yeah, like
different types of skills or.
here's a new landmass, or here's
Yeah.
an
Oh,
alien
wow.
race that you have to fight or, you know, become friends with or something like that, you
A
know.
new continent would be pretty cool. Like
Ooh.
if they did like a new continent, and it opened up a bunch of new quests, maybe types of skills that you could unlock, new tyrants, maybe like a whole big thing. I would pay $20 for that. Like if it was like, you know, some $20 expansion, that would be great.
And that could work, but I'm not going to say how it could work because that's spoiler.
Yeah.
Listeners, you have 1 month to beat Xenoblade Chronicles X before I just start talking a little bit more about it.
We're trying our best. We're
You've
trying.
been warned. You've all been warned.
Well, Justin, how far are you in it?
I actually haven't checked how many hours I'm in, but I am at chapter 5.
Yeah,
So
I just finished. Oh, that the end of chapter 5 is not to spoil anything. End of chapter 5, like I got the end of it, and I was like, oh, really? Wow, that threw a wrench in everything. Because I was going into the story thinking, okay, this isn't Monolithsoft certainly their best work, but it's, I mean, this is a game basically they put the RPG elements and the world front and center, and story just took, you know, a step back. But obviously, Monolithsoft is going to change that apparently with their next game, even though they want it to be different than like the Xeno series. But they want something with story first and foremost. But I'm at chapter 6 and I'm at 38 hours.
I'm probably somewhere in there, 30 hours there.
All right. Let's continue this conversation post show. I'm actually
Apologies. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
It's so good. It's so good.
It is good. With that though, before we go crazy, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping us up a little bit right here.
I'm good.
So, Justin, I want to thank you, and Harrison, I want to thank you for joining me for this episode of the KoopaCast.
Oh, as
No.
always, I mean, we're now getting into that point of the time where it's like, as far as news-wise, it's like, wow, we're about to go on a dry month or whatever for a while, or until once Christmas gets along, we're like, oh, new games!
Yep. Catch up time.
And I would also like to thank our listeners for tuning into the KoopaCast this week. If you have any questions for the KoopaCast, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. Again, that email address is podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also talk to us on Twitter. We love interacting with our fans. I am at purely_Matt. Justin is at purely_Justin. And Harrison is at HMILFELD. So H. Milfeld.
Correct. It's anytime I pronounce it out loud ever on audio, I always stress the D because I think it's E and it's like D as a dog. There.
Milfeld. There we go. And all of us together are at Pure Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to hear more of the KoopaCast, you can always take a look at our YouTube page, youtube.com/purenintendo. For our audio listeners, you can go to iTunes and look up KoopaCast. And for our listeners who do not have iTunes, you can always check out our RSS feed, which I have linked to the our KoopaCast posts on our website. And for those who are listening audio only, well, that doesn't make any sense, but if you somehow miraculously stumbled upon an audio-only, non-iTunes file of our KoopaCast, you can always go to purenintendo.com/feed/podcast.
Nice.
And finally, for more news, reviews, and features, please check out purenintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And we'll see you next time.
Hey, everyone.
See ya.